Greetings and welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church on Kirkpatrick Road in Burlington, North Carolina. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. If you'd like to correspond with Pastor Barkman and the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. The Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. Now with today's message from God's Word, here is Pastor Greg Barkman.
Well, we move to the second part of the Christian's responsibility to civil government in Romans 13, namely the requirement to pay taxes that is covered specifically in verses 6 and 7. And here's what it says. For because of this you also pay taxes, for they are God's ministers, attending continually to this very thing. Render, therefore, to all their due, taxes to whom taxes are due, customs to whom customs, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. Now, actually, verses 6 and 7 about paying taxes really become something of a subset to the general teaching of submission to civil government that has already been covered in verses 1 through 5. And so when I say there are two basic requirements, namely, number one, be submissive to civil government, and number two, pay your taxes to civil government, that's only an arbitrary way of dividing the passage, because you can see all of the links in the language. Verse 6, for because of this, and that takes us back to what has gone previously. For because of this you pay taxes, for they are God's ministers attending continually to this very thing. Well, the reference to God's ministers has to go back to the previous verses to explain. And attending to this very thing makes no sense unless you are already conversant with the first five verses. So I'm only viewing this separately, just simply as a matter of convenience. And actually, we've already talked about it in the first five verses, that paying taxes is very much a part of our general submission to civil government. But having said all of that, let's look specifically now at the tax-paying requirement of verses 6 and 7. And the basic command is that we are to pay taxes. Also, verse 6, for because of this, you also pay taxes. That is, also in addition to the general obedience, the general submission that is required by God towards civil government, you are also to render the payment of taxes as they are required. In addition to obedience, pay your taxes. In addition to obeying the laws of government, also pay the taxes required by government. Now, I don't like that any better than you do. I don't like taxes. I'd rather not pay them. I want to pay as few of them as I possibly can. And I actually give some attention to how to legally and legitimately make certain that I'm not paying any more taxes than are absolutely required. There's nothing in the Bible that says that I have to voluntarily pay more to government than is required. The tax code is so complex that sometimes it's hard to figure out exactly what is owed. And has been shown over and over again that even asking specific questions of the IRS sometimes, in fact frequently, not sometimes, frequently, yields conflicting answers to the embarrassment of the IRS and to as a testimony to the complexity of the tax code. It is way too complex. When different IRS agents aren't even certain as to how to interpret different statutes, then the code is way too complex and ought to be simplified. There are a lot of problems, a lot of things that are wrong, a lot of things that are wrong with government, a lot of things that are wrong with the tax code. But nevertheless, Christians are to render general obedience to civil government, and general payment to the required taxes. Sometimes when the tax bill comes, I look at it and I shake my head. As for example, in just one little example, when I recently got the tax bill again for a car that I purchased for my daughter to drive, I shake my head when I look and see what they valued the car at, because they valued it at about $3,000 more, maybe $2,000 more, I'm trying to remember the exact figures now. They valued it at $2,000 more this year when the tax bill came just a few weeks ago, well, months ago now. This year, they valued it at $2,000 more than I paid for it more than 2 years ago. How can that be? And yet, I have to acknowledge that I got a good deal. So maybe I should just, instead of ranting and railing at government, how can they value this car at $2,500 more than I paid for it, say, thank you, Lord, for giving me such a good deal on the car so that some of the money that I saved in purchasing this automobile I can use to pay the taxes on it, which really are not particularly excessive anyway, I must admit. But I shake my head in disbelief when I see the value, but I recognize that there are different ways of figuring value, as anybody knows who's dealt with cars. There is retail value, there is trade-in value, there is private party sale value. All of these are averages. You can look it up in the Kelley Blue Book or other places, internet or an actual book, and you'll find all different kinds of values. And they vary from place to place, and it's really very difficult to ascertain a value. And as we know, the value of anything that you sell is only what you can get for it when you sell it. It's what somebody's willing to pay you for it. Somebody can evaluate it and say it's worth so much, but if you can't sell it for that, it's not really worth that, is it? But somebody has to assign the value, and they don't just pick it out of the air. They do have the same resources to evaluate it with that I have when I try to look up the value when I'm interested in buying a car or selling a car. And there is variety there. There is variation. And so, you have to take all of that into account and just say, unless you're certain that the figure is totally wrong, give them the benefit of the doubt. Don't make a big deal out of it. Why? Well, because that's the attitude that Christ displayed. Again, I refer you to the time when Peter came to Jesus and said, there's somebody out here asking whether or not we pay our taxes or not. Well, Peter didn't know. He knew he hadn't paid any. The question was he required to? Should he? And remember, Jesus said, well, now, who do kings tax? Their own children or the citizens of the kingdom? And the answer is the citizens of the kingdom. And the implication was because, and I think this was a temple tax in view, the implication was that because God is the Father of Jesus and of all true believers in Jesus, they are the king's children, they could be considered exempt from taxes, but let's not make a big deal of it, said Jesus, rather than offend them, rather than try to press this point, which they won't understand anyway, just go ahead and pay the tax. Go out and catch the fish. Get the coin out of his mouth and pay the tax. Now, that's a very different attitude than what a lot of people have, a very different attitude than what I'm afraid a lot of Christians have. We should pay the tax and pay it cheerfully. How can you do that? Because that's what God tells us to do. How can you do that? Because that's the attitude that Jesus demonstrated. How can you do that? Because God is committed to supplying our needs. Just like Jesus sent Peter out to catch the fish and pay the tax that Peter didn't have the money to pay, so God will supply for his children whatever he requires. And if on the one hand he puts us in a location and a particular government over us in that location, And there are taxes involved in that particular government, as there always are. Then God, who put us there and who promises to supply our needs, recognizes that those taxes are part of our needs. It takes a certain amount of money to buy food. It takes a certain amount of money to pay for transportation. It takes a certain amount of money to buy shelter and clothing. It takes a certain amount of money to pay the taxes. And if the sovereign God has put us in a high tax neighborhood, he'll supply the taxes. My parents used to live in a state that was known as a high tax state. They had higher taxes than we do. They paid them. God supplied them. God moved them to a tax, to a state that has a little bit lower tax rate, but still not the lowest one. And some people choose their locations on the basis of taxes. And those states that have the lowest taxes will attract some people who will deliberately move to that state when they have the opportunity, try to find a job in that state, or when they retire, they'll move to that state. I have an uncle who moved to a particular state for that very reason. The reason he located in, and I'm not going to name the state, is because it's a low-tax state. They don't have some of the taxes we have here in North Carolina. So if I'm going to retire and have to live somewhere, if it's a state that's attractive to me otherwise, nice climate, beautiful scenery, some other things that I'm looking for, why not go there? I mean, there are some other states that have physical attractions that are perhaps equal to this one, but they have a high tax structure. And I have a limited amount of money for my retirement, and I'd rather spend more of it on eating out than paying taxes, so I'm going to go to this low-tax state so I've got more money to spend for other things. Nothing wrong with that. Those are the kinds of decisions we make. And if God allows you to do that, in His sovereignty, in His providence, He allows you to do that, to make that kind of decision and make those kinds of moves, fine. When you're in a low-tax state, you'll pay fewer taxes. When you, by the providence of God, are in a high-tax state, you'll pay higher taxes. And guess what? When you are paying higher taxes, God will supply the money needed to pay the taxes. That's just part of what it takes to live in this world where God has placed you. That's just what the Bible teaches. Your heavenly Father knoweth you have need of these things. Take no thought for tomorrow. Take no thought what you shall eat or drink or wherewithal you shall be clothed. The Gentiles, the heathen, the unconverted people, they give a lot of thought to a lot of these things and worry about them and fret about them. But don't do that. That doesn't honor God. Just trust the Lord to supply. He knows what you need. He knows what it takes to live, to eat, to exist in wherever He puts you by His design. So He's going to supply. Your Heavenly Father knows you have need of all of these things. Your Heavenly Father knows what your taxes are before you do. And He's going to supply them. So pay Him. Cheerfully. It's no big deal when you look at it that way. Now you can work yourself into a royal stew. Or you can just cheerfully pay them out of the money that God has supplied or that He promises to supply. And go on, trusting God to supply all of your need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. And you'll be a whole lot healthier and happier if you take the attitude that Christ taught His disciples. Until next week, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you His eternal peace.